We've been looking at the tabernacle. I want to remind us and to keep on reminding us that this tent is part of the Old Testament pictures that God gave to his people to help them and us understand what it means to approach God. The tent, the tabernacle, is an illustration of how we are to approach God, what it costs to approach God. I want you to imagine for a moment that you find a picture of artwork in your attic. You look at it, you study it, and it's a photograph of a beautiful piece of artwork. The photograph or the print itself isn't really worth anything. But what it is a picture of is invaluable. What it represents is priceless. It's certainly nice to have the print, the copy, but that's not where the true worth lies. It would be infinitely better to have the original, the reality. It is what is valuable. And the same is true for the tabernacle. If we stop at the tabernacle and its furniture, if we were only to consider the tent and learn a lot about the tent, we would be poor if we didn't move forward to the reality. We always have to move on to the reality. We have to consider what the copy is pointing us to, because that is where the real worth lies. The writer to the Hebrews, he calls these Old Testament illustrations copies or shadows of the heavenly things. Hebrews 8 verse 5 and Hebrews 9 verse 23 and 24. He says this, they serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. And then he says in Hebrews 9, for Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself. And so the tabernacle, it's just a copy. It's a picture pointing us to a heavenly reality. And that heavenly reality is Jesus Christ. And so as we look through the tabernacle, and I will keep reminding us of this, and myself of this, we must see Jesus Christ. We have to see that the access that we have to God is only through Jesus Christ. And everything in this tent points us to Jesus Christ, because it is in Jesus Christ where we find the true worth, the great value, the wonderful, glorious riches that the copies point to. And so we come this morning to the second piece of furniture mentioned in God's instructions for the tabernacle, the table for the bread, Exodus 25, verse 23 to 30. Chapter 25 gives us the instructions that God gives for the making of the table. And then in chapter 37 of Exodus, we have the people making the table. The two passages are similar. Now, this table has other names in Scripture. It's called the table of the bread of presence in Numbers chapter 4, verse 7. Leviticus 24, verse 6, which we read from earlier, we'll be coming back to that. It calls it the table of pure gold. But it's interesting that in Leviticus 24, it spends most of its time talking about the bread and not about the table itself. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 48, it says, the golden table for the bread of the presence. In all of these things, I want you to notice that it's the bread that carries the importance. It's the bread that goes on the table, which is where our focus is to be. That's the purpose of this table. It's a table for the bread. That's why it's here. Our attention isn't to be on the details of the table itself, but our attention is to be lifted up and set on the bread. It's special bread. The bread is the copy. The bread is the shadow. The bread is the illustration of the heavenly reality. So let us look at this piece of furniture in the tabernacle this morning. And as we do so, we'll be focusing our attention on the bread that was placed on the table. And then we'll be looking beyond that to the priceless reality that we have in Jesus Christ. I just have two simple headings to help us understand the bread this morning. Firstly, it's pointing us to the nearness of God. It's called the bread of presence. My second heading is, it's pointing us to the nourishment that we have from God. It's bread that's been provided by God that's to be eaten. So here in this bread, we have nearness and we have nourishment. And these are two things that we have in Jesus Christ. Two glorious heavenly realities that are worth far more than what the shadow itself is. Well, firstly then, let's consider the nearness of God's presence. God gives, as we would expect, precise instructions for how the table is to be made. It's made of acacia wood. It's overlaid with pure gold. It's a small table. It has a rim of molded gold around it. Four rings on the legs, close to the frame, so that two poles can go through the rings so that it can be carried. And this piece of furniture isn't as holy as the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, if you remember, had strict instructions as to how it was to be carried, and it wasn't to be touched. We don't have those instructions for the table of showbread. It was allowed to be touched. There were instructions for carrying it, but it's not as holy as the Ark of the Covenant. I should also say at this stage that some people comment that this rim of gold around the table possibly served as for stopping the bread from falling off the table. And perhaps you've heard this explained, that the rim of gold around the table is God's protection for his people, God's preserving his people, just as this rim of gold preserves the bread. And there's a lot of commentators who would take that. I'm not so sure if we're to take this rim of gold as a picture of God preserving his people. There's a couple of reasons for that. The first reason is that we're not told that this was the purpose for this rim of gold. I'd certainly be reluctant to read anything into this design that Scripture remains silent on. Now, it's true God preserves his people. That's a wonderful scriptural truth. That's a comforting truth. It's a glorious truth. God will not let any of his people fall away eternally. Those that he calls to himself, he keeps secure. But we're not told in Scripture that this rim has that purpose. So I'm hesitant to take that interpretation. Perhaps you've heard that before, but I'd be hesitant because Scripture doesn't give it that interpretation. The second reason why I'm not sure that the rim is there to preserve the bread is because we don't actually know where the rim was on the table. The picture that I showed the children had the rim around the top, but it doesn't say the rim is around the top. The rim could have been halfway down the table. And in fact, there's an arch in Rome called the Arch of Titus. Titus was an emperor, a victorious Roman emperor. He was there when the Romans invaded the temple in AD 70 and carried off some of the reproduced vessels from the temple that had been destroyed previously. And they carried his off. And on that arch, on the Arch of Titus in Rome near the Colosseum, you can look at that arch, and there is a picture of Romans carrying materials away from Jerusalem. There's the big candlestick, the menorah, and then there's the table for the bread. And on that picture, there's, well, it's mostly eroded away now, but there's a rim around the middle of the table, around the legs. Now, that was just a reproduction of the original furniture, but it's interesting that the rim was around there. So perhaps, I'm only saying this because you've maybe heard an interpretation of the rim that it's God's preservation. We have to be careful that we don't impose interpretations on Scripture that Scripture itself doesn't make clear. The Bible interprets itself the best. Scripture interprets Scripture. And so it is with the table and with all the items. We always have to ask, what does God's Word say? Unfortunately, we're left in no doubt concerning the bread. We know what the bread represents. God says in Exodus 25 and verse 30, "Set the bread of the presence on the table before me." And we read from Leviticus 24. And we read that there were 12 loaves of bread made from fine flour set in two piles, six in each pile, on the table before the Lord. And then we're told that pure frankincense was put on each pile. Frankincense was a sweet-smelling spice. And this was to be done every Sabbath day by Aaron the priest. We're told that he will arrange it before the Lord regularly. In Exodus 24, we are told it is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. So this bread, we are told, represents the people of Israel. It's from the people. 12 loaves representing 12 tribes. All of God's people. It's from the people. This is God's church. And it is God's church before his face. Set it before me. Put it before my face. The word presence that we have in Exodus 25, verse 30. That word presence, literally it means before my face. God is saying, all of my people are before me. The frankincense that was put on each pile of bread, it created a sweet-smelling aroma before God. A very visual picture. A picture for the senses, a smell of sweetness. Here before God, his people are sweet-smelling. Here before God, his people are precious. They are before his face, and they are adorable to him. This is what the picture is representing. It's also a picture of the continual presence of God's people before his face. God says it's a covenant forever. Every Sabbath day, the bread was placed before God and it stayed there until the following Sabbath when it had to be replaced with fresh bread. But God was saying there isn't one moment when there isn't going to be bread on this table before my face. There isn't one moment when my people are not before me. There isn't one moment when I'm not near them and they are not near me. God says this will be a covenant forever. You will be before my face forever. I will be your God and you will be my people forever. As an Israelite came towards the tabernacle, as the priests went in, as they looked over to the right-hand side and they saw the table with the bread, they knew, we are in the presence of God. That's what this picture is for. We are near God, and God is near us. We're before the face of God, and God is near us continually. What a wonderful picture for the people of Israel. The bread is a picture of the nearness of God's presence. The second lesson that God was teaching his people with the table and the bread is nourishment. Not only is God near his people with his presence, but God nourishes his people as he provides the nourishment that God provides. That this bread wasn't a food offering to the Lord because God was hungry. In other false religions, they bring food to the temples to feed their God. That's not what God needs. God doesn't need this food. But God does provide for his people. And God provides nourishment for his people. And as I was saying earlier, throughout Scripture, when bread is given, it's always a sign that it is God who is providing. God is giving to his people. God is sustaining his people. God is nourishing his people. And it's no different here with this bread. God is giving to his people. Turn with me to Leviticus 24, verses 5 and 9. Leviticus 24, verses 5 to 9. Verse 9. We're told that this bread, it will be for Aaron and his sons. And they were to eat this bread in the holy place. God is saying, I am giving, I am providing for the priests, those who were priests in his court. And here they share fellowship with God. They ate the bread in the holy place, in God's presence. God is saying, before my face, in my presence, I am feeding you, I am providing for you, I am nourishing you. This is what God has always done for his people. When they were hungry in the wilderness, he provided bread so they could be nourished. And now for the priests, they have this bread so they can eat in God's presence. And it's constant provision that God is giving. Just as the people are continually in the presence of God, so God is saying every Sabbath day, as the fresh bread comes in, the old bread is eaten, this is a covenant forever. I will continually care for you. I will continually provide for you. I will continually nourish you. God is teaching Israel. God is giving the picture. I provide so that you can eat in my presence. God is saying to them, be nourished in the nearness you have to me. Be satisfied in my presence. Be filled in my presence. Be provided for in my presence. Fellowship with me in my presence. Feed off me in my presence. Be nourished. But of course, these are just copies. These are just pictures of the reality that we have. There is something of far greater worth than walking into the tabernacle and eating the bread that was on the table. The reality of these 12 loaves and this table is greater than just the bread and the table itself. Because when we look at them in Jesus Christ, we find the true worth of what we have. We find the value, the infinite value in what we have. Jesus says in John chapter 6, we read from it earlier, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The bread of presence is a picture of what we have in Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ we have nearness and we have nourishment. There's nearness in Christ. His continual presence has been promised to you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Through Jesus Christ, we are brought near to God the Father. It is through Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, through his resurrection, through God's mercy to us in our lives, through Christ Jesus, we are brought to the very throne room of God, and we are before the face of God. And in Jesus Christ, we are made sweet before God. We're sweet smelling. No spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, no such thing. That's the picture that we have here. And the reality is that if you are a Christian, if you are one of Christ's, then you are in the very presence of God continually. An everlasting covenant. What a comfort that is. As you go through your struggles, as you go through your difficulties, as you have that issue to face this week, as you go to that difficult meeting, as you deal with that difficult topic, whatever that may be, you are before the face of God in Jesus Christ. You are near to him, and he is near to you. And it's true for every one of Christ's people. These 12 loaves spoke of the whole people of Israel. There weren't 11 loaves someday, 10 loaves another day, and then back up to 12 loaves. That's not the way it was. God says it's 12 loaves. The whole people, all my people, each and every one is before my presence. If you are one of Christ's, then he is near to you. You are before the face of God in Jesus Christ, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish or any such thing, a sweet smelling aroma to your Father in heaven. In Jesus Christ, the bread of life, he is near. And isn't this our eternity? We will be with him forever. We will be before his face forever. This is his covenant that he will not break. We will be feasting in his presence forever. What a comfort this is. In Jesus Christ, we are before the face of the Father. He is near to you. But then we also have nourishment, nearness and nourishment. It was only Aaron and the priests who could eat this bread. But when we come to the New Testament, we find that there's a priesthood for all believers in Jesus Christ. That Old Testament priestly system is done away with. He's the last sacrifice. And now in Jesus Christ, we all have access to God the Father through our high priest. The fellowship is for us all. We are all invited to come and to feast on the bread. We're all invited to come to the bread of life. We're all invited to be nourished, to be fed and provided for. Each and every Christian is invited to feed on the God's word, to be nourished, to be strengthened, to be equipped, to be satisfied. God has provided food, spiritual food. We can all come and be fed and nourished. Next week we have the opportunity of this fellowship as we come to the Lord's table, as we take of the bread and the cup in the presence of God. It's another picture that God has given of what it means to be fellowshipping with Him, to be nourished in Him. What joy that is. Just as Aaron and the priests were nourished as they fellowshipped in the presence of God, so we can be. We can be as we come to the Lord's table. Jesus said, "Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." And Jesus is, of course, talking about Himself. When we come to Christ, when we read His Word, when we pray through Him to the Father, as we walk with Him, as we meditate on His truth, as we fellowship with His people, as we surround our lives and saturate our lives with this Christ-likeness, we are being nourished. We are feeding on Christ and growing in Christ and being strengthened. And this is what God provides for us. And this is, of course, only possible because it was His body broken for us. It was His body that was crushed for our sin, His blood shed. We know from the New Testament that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And His body was to be broken and given for us. He took the punishment that we deserve. And do you realize, do you know the richness that you have in Christ, the value and the worth that you have in Christ? As you come to Christ, as God has provided this bread for you, the bread of life Himself, you have fellowship with God, participation in the presence of God, satisfaction, nourishment. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. The Israelite, as they came to the tabernacle, they could see this table of bread. And they knew, here we all are near to God. And God provides for us. And we have the reality of that picture. We have the true value in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, the bread of life, we've been brought near before the face of God. And in Jesus Christ, we are nourished and provided for. Do you find that comfort in His nearness? Do you find that nourishment in Jesus Christ? Do you long for that eternal presence of Christ? If not, if you don't, then what you must do is you must come to the bread of life. You must come to Jesus Christ, because it is only through Christ and in Christ that we can stand before the face of God and have His nearness and be provided for. And if you do find comfort in that, then realize that this is a reality that you have. Realize that this is a truth that God has brought to you. In Jesus Christ, you've been brought near. In Jesus Christ, you are nourished, provided for. Amen.